soldiers mock his name. Hear his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason why he came. See him realize his life is through. Feel the love burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it was rent in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, paid in full. I've done the work I came to do, paid in full. I've paid life's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers now as they can boldly say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone, we can approach the Father's throne and hear the words that he still calls to you. Paid in full, I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full, I've paid life's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. I've done the work I came to do, paid in full. I've paid life's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full.
Thank you. Let's stand together, please, and we'll read the scriptures this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'll read five verses there. We'll pray. We'll let you sit down, and then we're going to go to 1 John. But let's start in the book of John, chapter number 13. We'll read verses 31 to 35. Thank you for being here. I hope that you'll grab some invitations, make it your goal to have somebody here with you on Easter Sunday, okay? You say, I don't know who to invite to church. It's very easy. Have some invitations. You can invite anybody, any place, anywhere, anytime. Or you can invite everybody at every place, everywhere. Thank you, Raul. It's the first thing you said that made sense. John chapter 13, verse 31 says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. We're so glad for your love. And Father, As we read this morning already, you want us to love one another. May we learn the lesson that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. We'll start reading at verse number 14. 1 John chapter number 3. Verse 14 says this: we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's interesting. So how do I know that I'm really saved? Well, when you're really saved, you're going to love God's people. By the way, and I'm interjecting this, you're sitting down, so it's okay. I don't like to make you make comments when we're reading the scripture because you have to stand for a long time. But there's this thing that goes around to some people. Well, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. You know, the church is made up of God's people. And I just have a suspicion, Brother Pineda, if someone says that they love Jesus, but they don't love the church, they don't love Jesus. That was free. Okay. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Boy, it gets worse. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby, by the way, I will say this. You say, I love the brother, but sometimes they irritate me. Well, I didn't say that was wrong. Get in line. All right. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Not very well. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do these things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given unto us. You know, this whole year, we're going to just kind of stay on our theme in one way or another of making a difference. Helping other people, living outside of ourselves. Like last week, we discussed a little bit about that. We're obsessed with ourselves. This is called self-love. We have a narcissistic society. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means you weren't here last week, so listen online, and I'll explain it to you in the past. Many in our culture talk about making a difference, but really when we talk about making a difference, it's usually some kind of cause, and it's never related to individuals. And if you're for this, okay, but, you know, I was looking at, I don't get the newspaper, because most of the news out there, it's not just fake news, it's garbage news, okay, and there is an agenda, and I'm not going to listen to that garbage. By the way, too many Christians are influenced. You listen too much to the Communist News Network, CNN, and all the garbage that's going on, and you get so caught up, and there's no truth. We'd be pretty good just to stay with the book. And sort everything out we're hearing by God's word and not some nonsense. Back to what I was saying. But occasionally I walk around the block, I'll stop and see the front page of the Press Telegram. Say, why? Well, when I walk around the block, I'm just trying to keep the juices flowing. And when I see what they put on the front page, my heart gets to racing and I get mad. So I'm ready to go. And they had a picture of the people whose cause it was to make it illegal for us to get bags for our groceries. Not, look, I'm not for trashing the environment. Don't get me that. But this story said that now they're coming after our cups. So I guess when you stop to get coffee, it's like, just pour it in my hand, you know? After a couple times, it won't hurt quite so much. But these people get caught up in causes. But really, we should have a real cause. A cause that revolves around tangibly helping people. Making a difference. We saw that in Philippians last two, as really we spoke last week about it's not about us. So what are you going to talk about this morning? It's still not about us. Life isn't just about us. Jesus said that. I mean, we read the verses, and if you're one of my children, the next step is love others, not just in word or in tongue, but in action and in deed. We were supposed to look on the thing of others and esteem the things of others. So often we bring our selfish mentality into our Christianity. And by the way, we all have to struggle and fight with that. That's just inbred in our flesh. You say, well, I love, you know, when I have the feeling. Do you know love is not a feeling? I'm so glad that love is not a feeling. Because there's so often, I'm not feeling it. And if you're honest, there are times you're not feeling it. If you're going to have any kind of great relationship, it's going to last because it's a commitment. And that's really what love is. By the way, if you're committed and you do the right thing, the feeling will be there. But not all the time. That's why it has to be a commitment. God wants us to be committed to other people. Love. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says this. And the point is, love always shows itself in actions. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, how do we fulfill the law? Not because we have a good feeling towards it. Because we obey it and do what it says. In our actions, particularly our actions towards others. Galatians 5:6 said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, because he was talking about those that were adding works to salvation. He goes, but faith which worketh or shows itself out by love. I have faith in Christ. I have faith in Jesus. I'm a Christian. Can I see it in the way that you love others? If I can't, I wouldn't give you a dime for that kind of Christianity. Now, the Bible is very clear that if we love Jesus, life is not about us, and we're supposed to show love for others. And there's a few things I want us to specifically, I could give you a whole bunch because it's all throughout the New Testament, but there's a couple I want to focus on this morning where he tells us how we're supposed to act towards others if we're not living for ourselves, but we're seeking to fulfill the law, to fulfill our faith by our actions and our love. The first way we'll do it is we will serve one another. What does that mean? Service is a very powerful and practical way to show our love for others and to serve our Lord. Very simple. In Matthew 25, and I've mentioned it on several occasions, so I won't belabor the point. Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus gives the parable of the king and the subjects, and the king's talking to the subjects and says, I knew you loved me because you did all these things for me. And they were things they had never done for their king. And the people were confused and said, we never did those things for you. And then he said, and the king shall answer and say in Matthew 25:40, verily I say unto you, insomuch if you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Did you catch that principle there? Jesus said, through the parable of this king, if you do something for one of my subjects, I equate that or equal that with you doing it for me. So when he tells us to serve others, what he is telling us is the way we serve him is by serving others. Well, I'd do anything for Jesus, but I wouldn't do anything for them, then you wouldn't do it for Jesus. How are we serving today? Many people will give effort and energy to serving what is important to them. I can tell you what's important to you. You want to know? What do you put your time and effort and energy into? What do you serve? That's what's really important to you. My wife, I'm glad she was able to go. I go to the Brother Trevor's pastor's conference. My wife was able to go this year. And so it started on Monday night, so I'm used to it. They have a parking lot, but when I go, I always park off site. It's just what we do. They have a small parking lot. They're a big church. So I always park down the street. And I parked down the street Monday night, first service, and here comes Brother Treiber walking across the street. He's the pastor there, if you don't know that. And so I saw him. He goes, Brother Mark. You know how him. He's energetic, and he's positive about everything, you know. It's like, my arm just fell off. Well, hey, man, you had an extra one anyhow, you know. Like, so he comes there, and we start talking, you know, and we're walk, and I he walked with us to the service, and we got to the front of his church building, and there was a security guy there. He goes, let me introduce you to this guy, Brother Myers. And by the way, he'll be with us in April. I love when he comes. But he's like, I'm introduced to my security guard. He goes, this is Brother so-and-so. He goes, this is Brother Myers and his daughter. I'm like, thanks, I needed that. And so he introduced us to the guy. He goes, let me tell you about this story. He goes, this man right here, and I forget his name, he says, he's a layman in our church, and he was retiring. And he felt that we should have some security. There's a big church. They have several properties. He goes, he felt we should have some security here. So what he did is, and he had the car right there, he bought his own security vehicle. And he had patrol put on the side. He bought his own security, and he does security Monday through Friday at our school and for our church. That's just, he chose to serve our church that way. By the way, if you want to buy a vehicle and get a security, you're worth, have at it, all right? But you know what? When I looked at that guy, I could tell what was important to him. He retired and said, you know, I want to serve, and this is a big deal to me, and especially with the society in which we live in. I want to make sure our schools are safe. I want to make sure that I can just kind of make sure things are safe around here. That's service. What's important to you? As Christians, we need to serve. Now, many people choose to serve in this community, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I do know some church organizations, we get so caught up in serving the community, we don't serve the Lord at all. But I know this, in the past, we've done things to help our community just to get our name out there and to let them know that we love this area. Many years ago, there was a community newspaper, and it was actually pretty decent. We knew the people, and they just happened to mention, you know, boy, we need to pass these papers out. They, you know, we were a little bit short on funds, and we don't know. And so we had our teenagers pass the papers out. We still help set up Christmas Tree Lane, right? Well, the first time we did it, they had these machines, and three of our guys busted their head open. They had no idea what they were doing, and I'm like, you know, make sure they sign the waiver release if they're going to go help, by the way. I think we helped tear it down. Yeah, say, why? Are you really up on Christmas Tree Lane? Be honest with you, I actually drove through it last year. Well, I think I took the grandkids. It's been the first time I've driven through it in years. But it's like, now we're not going to go to seed, but I do want the community to know, like, you know what? Our church, we do care about this community. But I'll tell you what, the best way we need to serve is we need to serve through our church to reach our community. We're not going to spend all of our time passing out their newspapers, setting up their things. I mean, we've cleaned alleys. We've planted trees. Did we plant trees? I don't know. They make good firewood. But they planted trees. Okay, we do a little bit of that, but I'll tell you what, we need to serve our Lord a lot more. Yeah. What's important to you? How do we serve others? Well, we do it with our actions. John chapter 13 again, a few verses earlier in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, the disciples, and taken their garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? By the way, washing their feet was not a, you know, it's not like now. You're wearing shoes. Your feet are, well, actually, that can cause some issues. But at least your feet are clean. I mean, they walked around. Their feet are dirty. And washing the feet is not the key job. But he did it. Verse 13, ye call me master and Lord, and ye have well said, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, that's what he says, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you, verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent them. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus said, I set the example, I did it, and you should do the same thing. Nobody is above serving our Lord. See, when we think of the greatest, what do we think of? I'm the boss. I'm in charge. The greatest are those who tell others what to do. No. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a minister, be a servant. Those that usually go to the top started at the bottom. Those that had never had to go to the bottom and were just thrown at the top usually end up back down at the bottom because they don't know what it means. service. Do you ever serve? By the way, I think if a church is your church, you should find some way tangibly to get involved and do something. Amen. Why? That's called ministry. You heard, what's ministry? Ministry is serving others for the sake of God. Yep. What better place to do it than in your church? We have so many things that are done on a weekly basis. By the way, that's one of the things that I love about our church and why I love our church. We have so many good people. You're involved. You don't just come and sit. By the way, we don't have many of these. I don't know if we have any. There are some people like, I'll give extra money if I don't have to do anything. That almost sounds appealing sometimes. But I got a better idea. Give extra money and do something. Okay? You don't buy your way out of that. Although, again, I struggle with that now. I'm kidding. Listen, I'm glad if you give, but you know what God wants you to do? God wants you to be involved. Thank God for nursery workers that love our little our children. Change their diapers. Make them feel comfortable. Thank God for all the Sunday school classes we have. Man, we got classes outside. We got classes in offices. We got classes in janitorial closets. No, we don't. We don't do that. But they're everywhere. And thank God we have Sunday school teachers show up early, study a lesson, care for those children, care for those teenagers. You know what they're doing? You know why they're doing it? They're doing it for the Lord. Right now we have a couple junior churches. We have people that serve in the junior churches, the bus ministry. Thank God for those of you. You get here the earliest and you take those buses out and you bring people to church that would not be able to come, and especially the drivers. That was a plug. We could use a couple more, to be real honest with you. But thank God for the drivers. That is such a thankless job. The only time we notice you is when you hit another car. It's like so-and-so got an accident. No, okay. We try to know. By the way, bus captains, they ought to get donuts and coffee every week. Yeah. Say, but if I do that, they won't fit behind the wheel. We'll move the chair back. We have people that help clean up around here. People that help selling food. Why? So we can fellowship and have something to eat and it goes to the building, whatever. All the work on the job site over the years. I throw that in there because when we get when we finally get our permit from the city, we're going to do that again. We have, I think before Easter last year, we had a big work day on a couple Saturdays. Everybody came out here and helped. We're going to do that again too, by the way. Thank God for the music ministry. Thank God for the music ministry. Man, the choir. I appreciate the choir. And if you can sing, get in. I wish I could. Look, my son up here, he sung both songs. I don't know where he got that from. He got two things I wish I had, a voice and hair. Now I have something that he needs, good looks. But man, it's like, I wish I could do that. I'd probably be proud. I'd become some CCM artist. Because I do have the looks. He doesn't have the looks, no problem. I'm not dancing either. But look, music is so important. Orchestra, many of our children taking those, they're going to use those talents. By the way, music honors God. Music is praise to God. Thank God for that. We could just go on and on and on, but serving. Nobody ought to be above serving. I heard a great story many, many years ago. I was reading a book. Of course, many of us know D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the late 1800s. He started a Bible Institute, which is a college now in Chicago. It's no longer really a fundamental college, but back then it was. And after he left the scene, there was another great man, R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was running the Moody Bible Institute. He was coming down the hall one day, and he pulled one of the students aside, and he asked the student, he goes, I need someone to take a suit over here to be cleaned for me. Could you do that? This is R.A. Torrey. And he looked at him and said, I'm busy. I can't do that. No. And he walked away. Another student heard that, wasn't even asked, and ran up there and said, Dr. Torrey, I'll do that for you. That man's name was James Gray. Now, we may not understand it, but he ended up being the president of Moody Bible Institute after R.A. Torrey. Because as a student, he was willing to serve. Boy, let's serve. Let's find our place to serve our Lord. We not only serve him that way, we also serve it in our attitude. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, sometimes we don't care about the things that we do, even if they're going to hurt others, even if they're not necessarily wrong. We just have an attitude that everything's about me and I don't care about anybody else. And he says, no, no, no. Even in those things, we are to serve one another. Bad attitude. I've met people in the past, boy, they're serving God, but their attitude is not good. I'm driving the bus today, but I hate kids. We want you to drive the bus, but do one of two things. Either don't drive the bus or get a muzzle. I'm driving the bus for Jesus. I just don't want anybody on it. Okay, well, that's not going to work very well. You ever look, it's not appealing to be around people that may be doing what they're supposed to do, but they're not doing it with a right spirit. I was out visiting, and I drove through. I think it was Starbucks over in Torrance. So I only get a coffee, and I went in there, and it irritates me when I get this. I'm sorry. I go up there, and the lady walk at the counter. I step up. It's my turn. She just stares at me. I'm like, I'll have a coffee. She didn't want to say anything. She turned and went and got the coffee. Then she came and gave me the coffee and said, you know, whatever it was, $32.50. That was it. You know, I paid and she just stared at me. I'm like, have a good day. And I walked away. She didn't say a word to me. I'm like, took a shower a week ago. It's not that bad. It's like, you know what? She was probably having... you know, you pay on your phone and it pops up. Would you like to leave a tip? How many of you pay on your phone? You ever get that? It's like, would you like to? I'm like, no. No. That's why I go to the coffee bean. Amen, Alvaro. But it's like, she did her job, by the way. But she did not draw me in. Bad spirit. Let's not be offensive. Attitudes always lead to actions. You know, an attitude of having a mind to serve with a good spirit is David. You know, he served Saul. Saul was not very pleasant. Try to have a boss that throws a spear at you. Twice. Like, oh, no, no. I guess he's in a bad mood. But you know what? David served him as he would serve the Lord, because that's where David had him. By the way, I'm not going to, you know, that I always thought I should throw spears at the staff members. But they're so slow, they wouldn't duck, and I'd go to jail. That wouldn't be good. I'm just saying, look, let's have a good spirit, and let's serve each other. Let's serve people. Let's serve in the church. You will be more excited about your church if you'll just get involved. Now, what else does he tell us to do? I thought I'd be real right here. He tells us to endure one another. That doesn't sound very good. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbear one another in love. Now, he always throws that in there, so it's like, I don't want to do this. Oh, by the way, do it in love. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another. You know what forbearing means? That means enduring. That means, here we go, let's just make it real simple, shall we? Putting up with. Do you know sometimes people have, but that does not sound good. You know, when I think of enduring, it sounds like a trip to the dentist, right? You know, now by the way, my dentist is down the street and she's a bit of a I'll tell you, she's a bit of a nutcase. She's got a great person. The first, my wife set it up. I went there. I've never been there in my life. It was a work day. I go in there and you're sitting in a chair and they, you know, Tom the cavity is up there and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there and I had a shirt on. And I think it was either a King's or a Duck shirt. And I've never met this lady in my life. She comes in. She goes, you like hockey?
And she starts pounding on my chest. I like it too. I'm like, sister, quit hitting me. Okay. But man, when they pull out that drill, and you know, this shot won't hurt. I know it won't hurt you. You know, it's like, come on. We think of enduring, we think of just something you have to put up with, right? That doesn't sound pleasant. What he's telling us with is all of us have weaknesses. Now, we all have strengths. But see, we, because we're selfish, we just want the person's strength and we're not willing to put up with their weakness. We want them when they're having good days, but we're not willing to put up with them when they're having bad days. But we're hypocritical in that sense. Because if someone gets irritated with us for our weakness, it's like, I'm doing my best. If maybe we're having a little bit of a down day, we want people to give us some slack. But think of long-suffering. God wants us to work together. We quit on each other way too soon. Mark 9:19. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, this is Jesus, here we go. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now they brought Jesus a problem. He's like, don't you guys get it? Now he's doing it to teach him, but I'll be honest with you. You can almost sense a little bit of he's being like, we need to get over this thing. People can be frustrating. But before you go off on that, you can be frustrating. I can be frustrating. You know, they tell us when we were in Bible college, say the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. Let's say, amen. It'd be nice if we just had drive-by church. We'll just put a little thing here. You drive by, we'll give you a message to listen to. You drop off your tithes. Have a good day. We'll have a window in the back if you want to buy food for the building. Okay? No. That's because our flesh sometimes, we struggle with things. Listen, why don't we cut each other some slack? We have disagreements. You ever have a disagreement with somebody? You don't give up on them. You fix it. You're Christians. You work together. See, when it's about us, it's like you're not worth the effort. What if people thought about that way about you? By the way, I have found that people are worth the effort. The relationships and people we meet in our life, that's what really makes life worth living. That's what makes serving Jesus so wonderful. I just love Jesus. You know, we had our, and I read my Bible this morning and glory came down. Then I met somebody else and the glory just took a left turn. Jesus wants to take that glory we get from him and share that with others. People need help. You know who helps them? Other Christians. We have too many church hoppers. I remember one of the very first services when we started Monterey Park, Brother Mejia was there. Brother Mejia and I are there. And this guy comes into our Wednesday service, and he wasn't smiling. That was sign number one. But that's okay. And he's like, yeah, I got your invitation. I'm going to come visit. He goes, I've been to 48 churches so far. Can't find a good one. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Halfway through the service, he got up. Bah! I'm like, what? He walked out. I looked at Brother Mejia and said, we're number 49. If you're looking for a problem, you can find it all the time. Now, I'm not saying if there's a problem, look, if we start preaching heresy, get out of here and take me with you. Okay? But I'm just saying, we give up. But there's people, you're looking for, you know, people come to church and like, oh, this is such a wonderful church. And it is. But the first time you see someone having a tough day, it's like, whoa. Cut some slack. Yep. Amen. Or something, you know, people don't mean things. And by the way, so many times the problems we have are perceived. They're not even real. And if you two would just go talk to each other, it's like, that's not what we meant. Let's forbear one another. Let's endure one another. And let me give you one more. We're done. I won't even spend a lot of time on it because it's so simplistic. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. There's another one, but I'm not going to do that. Tenderhearted, here we go, forgiving one another. Ouch. Remember the verse we read in
Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Why do we have such a hard time with that? By the way, here's where Christianity really hits it. We need to forgive people even if they never ask for it. If somebody does something that bothers you, they may not even catch it half the time. And you just need to say, you know what? That's not who they are. They didn't mean that. They're not a bad person. I'm over it. They don't even need to ask for forgiveness. It's not a big deal. Forgiving. See, if we cannot forgive one another, we hold on to that and it becomes a grudge. And grudge usually turns to bitterness. And bitterness will affect not that just that relationship, it will affect every relationship in life. You have a couple that's married. One of them gets irritated with somebody, not even their spouse. Oh, well, not that they wouldn't, because that'll happen, but I'm just saying. They get irritated with somebody else, and they go back and forth. Listen, if I was the other spouse, I would encourage them to get that right. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if they don't, and that doesn't get forgiven, they're going to start dealing with bitterness. And you know, bitterness always spreads. And they start seeing everything through those glasses, everything through those eyes, and guess who's going to get a piece of that later on? You are. Oh, but they're not mad at, they're not bitter at me. They're bitter at that person. It's coming your way, cowboy. Yeah. It's coming your way. You say, but that other person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Then forgive them for Christ's sake and forgive them for your sake. Yes, sir. Because bitterness causes you to sit there and dwell on it and think about it. I remember many years ago, something happened. It was a miscommunication when we were at the old building, we weren't fighting or anything, but he had done something, and it was something, and it was an accident. It wasn't even like a bad thing, Brother Pineda. It was something small. And so, you know, what happened, like on a Friday, and so on Monday, I just kind of emailed, hey, Brother Board, you did this, and this happened. I just want to let you know what was going on. It was not a big deal, but I appreciate his response. He came to my office and said, oh, Brother, I didn't know that, Brother Myers. I'm so sorry. I hope that this didn't bother you all weekend. I said, no, it didn't bother me. It doesn't bother me now. I was just telling you about it. It's not a big deal. It's just something we were both dealing with. But did you see that spirit? Was, I hope that you didn't think about this and it bothered you all weekend long. We've got to have a right mindset. We sit there and stew on things. If I get mad at, let me see. Let's say Ryan. And I get bitter towards him. I sit at home at night and I'm like, that guy, what is wrong? Doesn't he know? And you know what he's doing at night? It doesn't bother him. I wish it would, but it doesn't. You know who it affects? Me. So even if he deserves bad treatment, I'm going to forgive him for my sake. That's how it works. Listen, we're a family. We're not going to make a difference in the world if we can't get along with one another. Amen. Don't let things fester. God wants us to make a difference. Life's not, by the way, the reason we don't forgive is because it's all about us. What about what they did to me? Listen, now I'm not saying if someone mistreated you, I'm not saying if someone took advantage of you, you forgive them, but I'm going to tell you this, you don't let them take advantage of you again. Yeah. Amen. Right? I don't know who it was. It may have been Kennedy. Forgive your enemies, but know who they are and know where they are. Something like that. But we forgive. Thank you. I didn't need it, but I'll take it. I knew you were better. I could tell by the way you act. What am I saying? We're done. There are so many things. These ones are just key when it comes to us. We need to serve. We need to, I don't like the word endure, but that's what it is. We need to endure one another, cut some slack. And if things go cattywampus, we need to forgive. Why? We're not going to make a difference if we don't do that. If we don't have the right relationships and we're not willing to go out and serve others, it's just not going to happen. Yep. And then life becomes about us. And a selfish life is an unfulfilled life. Yes, sir. A selfish life is a bitter life. You can tell people that have been selfish their whole life. When they get older, you just see it in their attitude, in their spirit. Because everything's always been about them. It's never been about anybody else.
And so let's get outside of ourselves. Let's bow our heads together.